This is Season 5 of Totally Useless Information with Nick and Roy. Listen, laugh, and learn.
This week on the show, games people play with a special guest. We get to play with a special guest. Useless fashion information, and we'll take you down the garden path with useless information about plants and trees.
Plus, we'll open up the mailbag and the headline from news from around the world this week. Suspect takes a bite of a paramedic in the nether region.
Totally useless information. It's everything you never needed to know.
Here it is, the end of season 5, episode number 20.
Step right up, folks. Don't be shy. Move it. Totally useless information with Nick and Roy present Games People Play.
Yeah, can you believe it? The end of season 5, Roy?
Yeah, I can't believe it, Nick. But I'm thinking about, what is the nether region? Is that a place where they are, or is it the nether region of the
body? The nether
body?
Region is just south of France somewhere. I don't know, but you'll find
out. Is it in Florida? Was it a Florida man? Just let me know right now.
So first of all, thank you for joining us. And every week we do news from around the world, and it's a headline. And 9 times out of 10, it's somebody out of Florida. You'd have to wait and find out. But I'm so excited.
All the nuts, other than myself, moved to Florida.
So we're really thrilled and excited. We once again cleaned up the studio because we have a special guest. And I've known this guest for many, many, many years, since actually the last millennium, I think. That's how long we know each other. He is Mark Saltzman. He is like a tech guru, evangelist. He does everything tech, and we'll give you a little bit of history as to why we have him on the show. But here he is, the one, the only, Mark Saltzman. Welcome.
Hey, thanks, Nick and Roy. Congrats on wrapping up season 5. Very exciting.
Yeah, and next week we're going to celebrate 100 episodes. Who knew we'd have this much useless information?
I know. Nick, enough about us. We got this guy on the show. He's a big deal. He wrote a book called The Apple Watch for Dummies.
Yeah. I just finished the 5th edition. It's out now. It's called Apple Watch for Dummies 2022 because, as you likely know, like other Apple products, they change it every year. So you have to keep on top of it. But yeah, it's a fun brand to write for. Wiley is the book publisher. You know, the Dummies books, the yellow and black books. There's a million of them, right?
Nick and I have, we have the reading for dummies.
Right. You have totally useless information for dummies.
Yeah, we do. You know what? Yeah, it's an audio book. Go figure. Yeah, reading for dummies, it's an audio book.
That's a good one.
So we invited Mark on because the segment is games that people play, and from game shows to board games. But Mark knows a heck of a lot about games. And why is that, Mark? What did you do? What did you start doing years and years ago?
So in the early 90s, dating myself here. I graduated from U of T and I was broke, and University of Toronto. And I decided that if I wrote reviews of video games, and the companies would send them to me for free instead of me having to pay $70 a game. So
did it work?
I contacted all these video game companies and said, hey, I'm going to write about your games. They sent a couple of them, you know, leap of faith. They sent me some, and then they're like, so where's the review? I'm like, oh yeah. So then I had to approach some local newspapers and ask for them to let me review the games. And once I had one published and I sent them the proof, you know, that I actually was reviewing it, and then I got paid and I got to keep the game. I'm like, wow. So that's how I stumbled headfirst into journalism. So yeah, fast forward 27 years later, and I'm still doing it. I branched out a bit, not just,
you know, a little bit about early video games too.
I do. Yeah, first couple of my books in the 90s were also about retro games and game design and stuff like that. I've got some useless facts for you from the golden age of video games.
Sure, shoot.
Can you name an iconic video game from the 80s that did not require a button at all?
Oh.
No buttons. There's two of them, actually. Two big games.
Was it a dial or no buttons at all?
No buttons at all. It was a joystick. So the answer is Pac-Man. No buttons, right? Think about it. Or Frogger. I would accept Frogger. Those are two iconic arcade games, of course, from the early 80s. And then Ms. Pac-Man, even better, in my opinion, than Pac-Man. But they did not require a button. You know, we talk about the simplicity of games back then.
Yeah.
Another fun fact is Space Invaders, which came out in the late 70s. You know how when you would fire up towards the aliens and it would get faster as they come down? That's because the computing power couldn't handle, it was slow because the computing, the processing power was limited. So when you were able to remove some of the aliens from the screen, it was able to speed up. But that was not on purpose at first.
Yeah, wow. That is a cool. We actually, I think we had that on the show, right?
We did. That was because I know you guys did some gaming stuff recently.
Like, yeah, we did. But cool, here's the thing, though.
I think it's the coolest thing ever. They didn't intend for it to get faster.
Now, did you ever
and
play?
The whole game is great because it gets faster.
Yeah.
Did you ever play the game, Mark?
Space Invader.
Yeah.
Oh, of course. So, yeah. You know, I grew up playing. Look, I was in the pinball games. Then Pong came out, which was like, wow, electric table tennis.
Yeah.
This is like insane. And then I had I didn't have an Atari or an Intellivision, but all my friends did. But then I got a ColecoVision in the early 80s. Mm. And then I got into computer gaming after that. But sure, Nintendo and Sega and Xbox and PlayStation. I mean, you know, that's my thing. But now with doing it for a living, I like making money. So if I'm going to review a game, I don't want to spend 50 hours reviewing it. So I pick and choose which games I review because I just don't have the bandwidth to invest the time that I used to have, as you guys can relate.
Yeah, absolutely. We have very little bandwidth. You have us pegged right on. So I'm going to go.
I don't even play an instrument.
So I'm going to go game show here for a sec. So in the early 1970s, Bob Stewart, the creator of the game show The Price is Right and Password, approached producer Mark Goodson with yet another brilliant idea, a wordplay guessing game called Cash on the Line. Goodson liked the idea, but he refused Stewart's one demand that Stewart to be added to the Goodson-Todman production name. So Stewart formed his own company in 1973, launched a show which is now called the $10,000 Pyramid.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, cool.
The show went on to win 9 Emmy Awards, second only to Jeopardy, by the way, and endures several title changes because of inflation, I guess, and many different hosts, including Donny Osmond, if you remember. It was just Pyramid at the time. But Dick Clark made it, put the show on the map, the $10,000 Pyramid.
Did you know that, Mark?
What he can't. Yeah, you know what? I did not know that. I did not know that. That's Ed McMahon, I guess, not Dick Clark.
You wrote like 3-4 books. You're a big shot.
I'm a video gamer and gadget guy, but yeah, TV game shows, I wouldn't know as much.
Nick and I have not written books. We've written in books.
That's right. We have. Yeah.
And then returned them to the library. That's illegal, you know.
It is now, yeah. You get arrested for that, for writing in the books. Exactly.
The game can. Candyland was the center of one of the first internet domain legal suits in history. Hasbro sued and successfully won the name Candyland.com from a raunchy porn site that was using it before. It was called Candyland.com, and when you punched on Candyland.com, you saw a lot more than
that's hilarious. They're always the first. That industry is always the first to get to embrace new tech.
Nick, you used to go on that site before Hasbro got it back, correct?
Yeah, that's where I learned that candy canes have stripes.
Okay.
No, I wasn't a candy striper in a hospital volunteer program. No. You're listening to Totally Useless Information with Nick and Roy, with our very special guest, Mark Saltzman. He's with us, gracing us with his wonderful gaming knowledge. What else do you have for us, Mark?
Hmm. Well, you probably know how big the video game industry is, $180 billion a year now. So a huge industry. But we just saw on January 10th that the biggest purchase of a video game company in history. So the company is called Take-Two Interactive. They're the folks behind Grand Theft Auto and some other games like Red Dead Redemption. They bought Zynga. They make mobile phone games like Words with Friends and Farmville, $12.7 billion US in both a cash and stock deal. This is huge.
Just like, a mere bag of shekels.
Yeah, big bag of shekels. But to put that into perspective, Disney purchased Lucasfilm for $4 billion in 2012, right? That's this is three times the cost for a mobile phone. So you could see where games are going. Not that they're becoming any less popular on consoles or on computers or in virtual reality. If anything, it's becoming more popular because of the pandemic as a means of escape and entertainment and communication, frankly. But mobile phone gaming is really where it's going as well. So to buy Zynga, Kazinga, with that kind of money, that's a big deal. And you probably know that esports, so this is electronic sports, like, so professional gamers that are playing, video gamers that are playing head-to-head, also huge. League of Legends, the world competition the other, last year actually, had more viewers online than the Super Bowl or NBA Finals. Over 100 million unique viewers tune in to the League of Legends. So these these are kids basically playing video games.
You know, me and Nick, we actually missed the whole video game thing by a few years. Either that or we were just on Candyland.com.
What of the two? Yeah, so your forearms were already tired. You didn't have any.
Four hours. How about 20 minutes, Mark? 20 minutes.
But never say never. The average age of a game player is 35. Average.
Really?
Okay. The median age of a gamer is 35. So,
well, thank you for that.
The stereotype is that you're like a 12-year-old.
Because we missed that boat too.
By a few years, yeah.
Okay, so you might be on the high end of that, but
a little bit. Yeah. Like on the Social Security high end. Yeah,
exactly. So,
did I tell you I write for AARP, Roy? I write for them. Yeah.
Do we have guests, Nick? Do we have guests on this show?
But you know, usually, how many words? What's your word count? Let's say on an article when you write in USA Today and other publications. How many words?
Yeah, usually 800.
800 words for AARP.
800 to 1,000.
800 to 1,000 for AARP, yeah. Because the font is bigger, it's only 400 words. Because the font is bigger.
Oh, boy. You're so funny.
Well, thank you. Listen, laugh, and learn. That's our motto here at Totally Useless Information with Nick and Roy.
Very light on the learn part.
Some restrictions apply. That's what we learned, really.
Me and Nick wrote an article one time. It was six words. Me and Nick wrote an article.
Yeah, we learned that on Reading for
Dummies. How many fingers you got, Nick? He's trying to figure that out.
Exactly. Yeah, that's really
We learned that was one of the examples of Reading for Dummies. One other fact of Pyramid, Billy Crystal holds the record for the shortest time to get to the top of the pyramid. He did it in an amazing 26 seconds in November of 1977. And Dallas actor Barry Jenner missed Crystal's record by 1 second in 1987. It took him 27 seconds, where he won $100,000 for his partner in the game.
But he was so distraught, he hung himself.
No, he did not.
Listen, I've got a good one.
All right.
Everybody that's listening right now, and all of us, have played Monopoly, correct?
Of course.
Yes.
Okay. You know the jail? There's a prisoner behind bars in the little square with the jail thing?
Yeah.
What's his name?
I was just going to ask you, like, off the top of my head, does he have a name?
There's a name.
Really?
He does have a name. Well, his name is Jake the Jailbird.
Really?
I swear.
Parker Brothers, they're fans of alliteration. Clearly.
Yes, there you go. Jake the Jailbird.
Jake the Jailbird.
Well, I knew the Monopoly man. Is he Moneybags or something? Is that his name?
Yeah, that's right. Something like that.
Yeah.
Moneybags, yeah.
With Jake. The monocle? He's got a monocle, right?
Yeah, he does. Wow. You're listening to Totally Useless Information with Nick and Roy with our very special guest, Mark Saltzman.
Speaking of Candyland and Monopoly.
Yes.
No, listen. This just came out in January. This is really cool. It's called the Infinity Game Table from a company called Arcade 1UP. This is a flat table that is either 24 inches or, better yet, 32 inches, that has over 60 built-in board games, digital board games. So Monopoly, Battleship, Candyland, Life, Scrabble, Connect Four, Sorry, and so on. And you play with your fingertips and there's like haptic feedback, so it vibrates slightly, but you're never going to lose a pewter piece from Monopoly again. You're not going to step on a battleship and curse. No one's going to try to steal money from the Monopoly bank. So really fun, and you can download new games to it. So it's available now. It's $6.99 US for the smaller one, $8.99 for the larger one. You can, as I mentioned, download other games. And if you want to remove the legs of the table, you can put it on an existing coffee table or a coffee table. It's a lot of fun. Up to five, six people can sit around this thing and play. And you can also play over the internet against others somewhere else in the world.
So I could remove the legs, put it on my lap, and watch Candyland and play with my fingertips. That's all I got out of that, Mark. I'm sorry.
Right, oh, boy.
He filters everything, right? Yeah. He's still looking for the button for Pac-Man. By the way, speaking of Pac-Man, only one person scored the perfect score. You can't score any higher than this in Pac-Man. 3,333,360 is the highest score you could ever get in Pac-Man, and he did it.
Oh, so there was
I think it was like fairly recent. It wasn't in the 80s.
No, it was quite recently.
Yeah, actually, if I remember, ago.
Exactly. So
that's because in the 80s we had Jobs.
Steve Jobs. And he was inventing Apple. Going back to watch how we all pull the thread here together, where you can pick up a copy of Apple Watch for Dummies by Mark Zaltz.
Oh, you're such a pro, Nick.
What do you think the longest game of Monopoly was? How long did the longest game of Monopoly last?
I'll say 2 days, but you got to sleep. Is this like without sleeping?
Well, this is
because you can go to sleep and continue on.
Yes, this is one of the questions I had, and it didn't have. I was even more critical. I said bath break, shower, clothing changes. You know, I mean, you had to go to a bathroom break, right? I mean, was that included?
I'm sure that's included.
But anyway,
I say 3 days. 3 days.
The Guinness World Book of Records is 70 days.
Oh, so that's obviously with lots of breaks. Is there? That's a long game, though.
I mean, these have got to be some slow people. I mean, did they not buy up the property in the first few days? Were there like towers on these properties? Did they go from the little house to the big house to
they went to the big house to see Jake, the jailbird.
Do you know what the most expensive Monopoly game ever made was by Parker Brothers? It was made for a sheik or shake, whatever you want to call it. Mm-hmm. I like chocolate shakes. Yeah. But anyway. Mm-hmm. This was $2 million. It was made using gold, rubies, sapphires, and diamonds. And I tell you, real steel on those bars, those jail bars. No, can you imagine though, a $2 million? You got to have a lot of money to go, you know, I always wanted a $2 million Monopoly game.
Yeah. I thought my $100 Scrabble set was fancy.
Is that the $100 for Scrabble set?
It was gifted to me. It's on like a Lazy Susan kind of thing. You spin it around, but it's like a giant Scrabble board.
Does this guy know we're not paying him, Nick?
Yeah, we're paying him in Monopoly money, which, by the way, more Monopoly money is printed than any other currency in the world.
Wow. Maybe not anymore with that digital version.
Exactly.
Or Joe Biden.
There we go. Mark?
All right, one more fun fact from yesteryear. Atari's co-founder is Nolan Bushnell. He's still in this space today, as is his son, by the way. And he also helped to create Pong by giving Alan Alcorn, an employee who worked for him, the assignment to create electronic table tennis that we talked about earlier. And he also helped as well. But you might not know that Nolan Bushnell also created Chuck E. Cheese Pizza Time Theater. So he founded this, of course, family-friendly restaurant really as a means to get his arcade cabinets in more family-friendly places, because back then arcades were a bit seedy and, it wasn't really for little kids. So he also, by the way, Nick and Roy, had the idea of tokens, genius, because he knew you can only spend the Chuck E. Cheese tokens at Chuck E. Cheese. The kids inevitably would be told they have to go home before they can spend it all. So they would put them in a little pile on their dresser or whatever in their bedroom as a reminder to say, Mom and Dad, please take me back to Chuck E. Cheese. It's genius to have this proprietary currency to play video games. That was also Nolan Bushnell's idea.
Yeah, the big mouse dances around. The kids get to play Grand Theft Auto and pick up hookers, crash cars, and shoot people. And then they go on Candyland.com.
Well, Mark, we can't thank you enough. Like we've had guests on before with expertise. By far, this to me is the most fun because we're talking about games here and video games, and everyone can relate. It's a generational thing because, like you said, video games have been around for a long, long time, and the average age, what did you say, was 35?
35 right now.
35, yeah. And most of our audience can actually relate. Either they played it for the first time, or maybe they're going to go out and play some of these fun games because they are a lot of fun, as you are. Tell us where we can find you, Mark.
Yeah, thanks again. So I'm on social media. I write a tech tip of the day. If anybody needs a little bit of help in understanding their tech, I try to break down geek speak into street speak. Mm-hmm. So it's Mark Saltzman, MarkSaltzman, or for the Canadian listeners, Saltzman. And I'm on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, and YouTube. And I link to my articles. I link to podcasts, videos that I produce, and all that kind of stuff. Giveaways. So anything like that.
Nick is so weird. He goes, Mark, where are you? Nicky's in the little box right below us.
Thanks again, Mark. We really appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. Congrats again on wrapping up a new season. All the best.
Great meeting.
Likewise, Roy.
You're listening to Totally Useless Information with Nick and Roy.
Down the garden path with Nick and Roy.
Boy, after that game playing, I'd like to just go relax in the garden.
She sounds like she's smoking some of that marijuana that you're legally allowed to do in Canada.
First of all, you don't know that she's Canadian, number one. Number two, she doesn't do any of that stuff.
As far
No?
Well, how would you know? You don't even know if she's Canadian.
That's right. Hey, could you read this? She does a great job, actually.
She's a good reader.
Did you ever, because she read Reading for Dummies, I think. Yeah, she read it to us. She read it to us as a bedtime story, Reading for Dummies. I thought it was hilarious. Reading for Dummies, it's an audio book. That's funny. Use that line. All right, Knots Up. Did you ever carve your name in a tree? Did you ever do that?
Yes, okay. I actually did in the Adirondack Mountains in New York.
Well, the notch on the tree will remain the same distance from the ground as the tree grows.
Oh, it doesn't go up?
It doesn't go up. So wherever you notched your name there, if you go back to that tree in the Adirondack Mountains.
Oh, that's right, because the inside moves, not the bark.
That's right, exactly. That's right. So when you carve your name in a tree, it'll remain the same distance from the ground as the tree grows.
Cool. See, folks, you're learning. This is great.
Yeah.
Turtles, they live a long time. Mm-hmm. Okay, and not to, like, you know, folks, we don't discuss what we're going to talk about, so this is really great. The longest living organism on Earth by far is the tree.
Wow. Okay. Really? Wait, I did not know you were going to talk about trees. Neither. Okay, good.
Wait, if trees could talk, they'd say, just leave me alone.
leave me alone, yeah. Wow, you're barking up the wrong tree. The garden, if you have a garden, it's your happy place. Many studies have found that gardening will help boost your mood.
Yeah, because you're growing that marijuana.
No, we're not. No. Because you're listening to Totally Useless Information with Nick and Roy while you're gardening. See how it boosts your mood. Even if you're not the biggest fan of gardening, spending some time tending to your plants can help brain produce serotonin, which is the happy chemical in our bodies.
I thought I dated her in high school, serotonin.
Serotonin, you did. Yeah. Yeah, she was a real, yeah, she was. Certain bacteria strains in garden soil will also contribute to serotonin production. So it's really cool. So it's chemically and physically and it feels good to be in the garden.
Speaking of garden plants and things like that, peanuts are not nuts at all.
No, it's in their name. Yeah. How could it not be?
They're legumes.
Or legumes.
Which are beans.
Okay.
Legumes. Yeah. You say legum, I say legumes. Whatever. They're like beans. They're like lentils.
Yeah.
You know, beans and lentils. Uh-huh. They have more protein and more niacin and folate than nuts. I love peanuts. I buy them like massive bags of peanuts. I buy down here because Georgia is all peanuts and everything, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And you can get them salted or non-salted, whatever. I buy so many peanuts, I give them away because I love when people eat my nuts.
That's right. give me some peanuts and Cracker Jack. Yeah, you.
What was the pause there? I don't know.
Yeah, you. It was somebody ordering. You take online orders. Okay, so. I'm going to tell you.
Candyland.com.
That's right. Isn't that something, though, that something like that was so pornographic?
And that was like brought to you by Hasbro.
Yeah, has been. All right, here's some tree jokes. What yes. kind of tree can you hold in your hand? A palm what? Tree.
Palm tree.
There you go. How do trees go to the internet? They log on. Why do trees hate riddles?
Why?
Because they always get stumped. And one more, another tree joke.
If anybody uses these, I'm going to be very upset with our listeners.
Why are trees good at algebra?
Why?
Because they can always find the root of the equation.
No. You should have stopped at the first one.
No, no, there's more coming. Don't worry.
The hottest pepper in the world, Nick.
Yes.
According to the Guinness World Book of Records, which I have put down to an acronym.
Okay. Yeah.
Is the Buhat Jolkobi. Mm-hmm. It is 401.5 times hotter than Tabasco sauce.
How do they figure that out? 400 times. What was 300 times hotter?
That's about as hot as Heidi Klum in a skimpy bikini.
On that
Can you imagine 400 times hotter than Tabasco sauce? Tabasco sauce is relatively hot, but 400 times, that's literally sweat, burn your mouth, drink some milk type stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Even your hair sweats.
Yes.
Here are some more plant jokes. Okay. Here are some plant jokes. Those are tree jokes. These are plant jokes. Okay?
I sweat one time watching Candyland. No, but
what did the baby corn say to the mother corn?
What?
Where's popcorn? I'm not sure what state they lived in. What kind of vegetable do you get when an elephant walks through your garden?
What?
Squash. And one, where do vegetables go to get a few drinks?
Where?
The salad bar. And finally, what do you call a jungle where the animals talk about current events?
Candyland.
No. No, a topical forest. Listen, laugh, and learn.
Oh, my God. When you cut an onion, yeah. you cry. Yeah. Not because you're a wussy, Nick, or because yeah. you're looking in the mirror. No. No, wow. It's because the onion sucks sulfur out of the soil. That sulfur becomes airborne when you cut it, and you cry. So, to all the listeners, you're going to listen, laugh, and learn today. So now you're going to learn something cool. Chill your onions. Keep them in the fridge. Then when they come out, peel the onion and salt it. Salt the onion.
Oh.
Then cut it, but always cut it with the root end being the last place, because the root end has most of the sulfur that's going to make you cry.
That was amazing. That wasn't useless. That was useful.
We don't really hear that song.
No, we don't. I had to dust it off. I started crying because I had to use it again. As you're listening to Totally Useless Information with Nick and Roy.
Welcome to the Totally Useless Information Fashion Show.
That's pretty cool. I've heard of you freezing your onions. So to
yeah,
speak.
Yeah. When I went to Canada,
yeah, you did
Florida weather.
No, I've heard of putting
my onions off.
I've heard of yeah. putting the onion in the freezer, but I didn't know about.
Well, you know, I brought you up a big bag of nuts. So
yeah, legumes.
Put them outside. Let them freeze. You freeze your nuts.
You've heard of the expression "ants in your pants." How about ants on your pants? In 1964, presidential runner Barry Goldwater sparked a national fad.
Hmm.
Because in 1947, he came up with Antsy Pants, which is men's underwear covered with red ants. He came up with that design.
They're just pictures. They're actually not actual.
They're not actual ants. No, 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 no. So these are ants on your pants.
I'll be honest with you. It's 2022. I mean, it's a different world, Nick. So it could have been uncles on your underwear, too. It's okay.
No, not ants. Yeah. Or crickets.
You know, it's a different world. You know, it's okay, too. It's all right.
We don't judge.
What? So screwed up when you're searching for a word. In gym.
That's right. Yeah.
White was the color of mourning. Not mourning in the daytime.
Oh.
Mourning meaning someone died.
You wore white?
Now, that's odd. This is years ago, like, you know, in the 1600s and so on.
Yeah.
They didn't wear black to funerals. They wore white to funerals. Well, the first person to wear a white wedding dress was Queen Victoria. And after she wore it, people were shocked, but they said, this is cool, because white also meant purity. And so it caught on, and white became the wedding dress.
Purity.
Pretty cool.
It, very good.
You know, if you have a special occasion, Nick, people can go to nickandroy.com and they can send one of our birthday cards or cards. They're fantastic, folks. You got to go to our website and listen to it. We do a whole thing like our show, and you can go to nickandroy.com and you can get all the information on how to get one yourself.
Even better, nickandroy.com/birthdays. It'll give you all the information. It doesn't cost that much because we're really not worth that much, Ian, Roy and I, but it's okay.
But are you kidding me? We're famous.
That's right. We are. And we are. We have the ability to grab all kinds of useless information about the day that that person was born, that special person. We talk about it, all kinds
I
of
mean, really, stuff. We have the ability to grab a lot more than that. That's but right. We're not going to discuss that either.
That's right. Not because according to the law, but nickandroy.com/birthdays. Hey, this wasn't just for disco. In the medieval and Renaissance Europe times, it was common for the nobility to wear tall platform shoes.
Ooh.
Called chopines, I think it's called, how you pronounce it. It protects their clothes from getting dirty, from the dirty streets.
Wow.
The taller the shoe, the higher the wearer's status. So they could be as tall as 20 inches.
And where was this?
In medieval and Renaissance Europe.
Wow. I know that the Chinese did that, too. The Chinese wore those wooden shoes so that they could protect their beautiful silk garments.
Same reason. There you go. See?
Pretty cool. Well, here's a fashion one I think that people are going to like.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you'll know this, Nick, because you are like a fashion. You're not a fashionista. You're a fashion disaster. Okay. Christian Louboutin. Do you know who he is?
I've heard of the name. Why?
Louboutin are the shoes.
Right.
That women really would all love to buy, but they're thousands of dollars. I mean, some shoes are $5,000. They all have red bottoms on them. The shoes literally are red on the bottom, and that's his trademark. But did you know this, ladies that are listening, that want his shoes? A while ago, he did it for a few years. He painted the bottoms of his white wedding shoes blue so that a woman who was getting married could have something blue, something borrowed, something blue.
Wow, what a great idea.
Something new, right. And he did it. He canceled it after a while, but he did do it because he had some problem with a copyright infringement. Somebody else was using
it. Yeah, that would do it. Yeah, sure. Absolutely.
But he did do that. Louboutin. Yes.
High foreheads, which I'm really familiar with, were all the rage in the Elizabethan times. Women would pluck their hairlines back an inch or more to get the biggest forehead they could.
Holy mackerel.
So it's kind of keeping up with the Joneses kind of thing. So, oh, yeah.
That's kind of drastic, though.
It is. So if you look at some of the pictures from the Elizabethan times, you'll see that the women's foreheads kept going up and up and up, and that's the reason why.
Wow. Coco Chanel.
Yes.
That's a really cool name, Coco Chanel.
Yeah.
Was a very poor young girl. Not only was she poor, when she was age 12, her family died and she was orphaned. So here's this poor orphan girl. She didn't let that stop her from becoming one of the most famous fashion designers of all times. And think about it. Chanel perfumes, the little black dress, Coco Chanel.
Ah.
Okay. And so much more, including jewelry. Chanel jewelry is the rage right now. I mean, it's amazing. So just amazing what a girl who was very poor and then orphaned at the age of 12 could become one of the greatest fashion designers of all time.
And she was quite attractive, which is why they called her Hot Coco Chanel.
If she was in Florida, she'd be called Hot Coco.
Hot Coco, there you go. Is it bulletproof? It was hard to avoid the influence of war in the 1940s, of course, and military-sounding terminology crept into the underwear fashion lingo. The bullet bra or torpedo bra.
Right.
Promised women, quote, maximum projection for their bosoms. Not protection, projection for their bosoms. The bullet bra from the
19th. Didn't Madonna wear one of them? Like a bit, like hers was like, you know, it looked like
soldiers' helmets.
It looked like you could hang clothing off of them.
Exactly. You're listening to Totally Useless Information with Nick and Roy. You can go to our website, as we mentioned, nickandroy.com. You can send us an email, go to contact us, and you can be just as famous as we are.
What's in the mailbag? What's in the mail?
All right. We're doing the mailbag. So I went through some of the mail, and we're getting some strange folk.
You certainly are.
But thanks for sending your pictures. We do appreciate it.
Yeah, we do.
Just remember, you will not get any in return, but even though you request. But that's okay. Hal from Pigeon Forge, Tennessee. That's where Dollyland is, I believe. You know, the theme park, Dollyland or Dolly World.
Pigeon Forge?
Mm-hmm. Pigeon Forge, Tennessee. I love Tennessee, Hal. He writes, you guys crack me up. I love your humor, and I have learned so much from your show. Have you guys ever been to Tennessee?
I haven't. Have you?
You haven't been to Tennessee?
No.
Oh, my God. You got to go to Tennessee. I don't have to even say that. Tennessee is like one of the most popular destinations right now. Okay. Nashville is fantastic. Pigeon Forge is amazing. The Smoky Mountains, insane. Tennessee is really on fire right now. I think it's Texas, Florida, and Tennessee are the three hottest places to move to in the United States. If you haven't been to Tennessee, go. You will have a great time. Even if you don't love country music, you'll love Nashville. I'll tell you that.
Sounds like
so Hal, thank you for writing in. We appreciate you listening to and to your whole family, because Hal wrote on about his family listens as well. So thank you so much. And we look forward to getting Nick down there for a little country music.
Yeah. And some
in a free state.
Do they have barbecue down there, or is that Kansas City? Is it barbecue?
No. Listen to me. The best brisket, ribs. It's just, it's all about the smoke.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's amazing. Nashville, I could go on and on. It's fantastic.
Brought to you by the tourism.
Yeah. The Nashville Chamber of Commerce and the tourism department.
Lisa from Staten Island writes, dear Nick and Roy, thank you very much for supplying me with all of your useless facts and humor. I am a mom of four kids, and as much as I love them, sometimes I need to escape. So I turn on you guys. Okay. I'm glad.
And yes, Lisa, you do turn us on, but go ahead. Yes.
No, she turns us on. Wait, what? I remember the commercial for Calgon baths and bath salts, right? Mm-hmm. There are days where I need a calming bath. Well, Lisa, I did look it up. The slogan, for those of you who might remember a little bit of television advertising history, Calgon, take me away. Mm-hmm. Became the catchphrase for stressed out people everywhere during this advertising blitz for bath products in the 1970s and 1980s.
Nick said bath salts. Isn't that the stuff that makes you eat people's faces off? No, it's like a drug.
No, it's not that kind of thing. This is a nice, warm, relaxing Calgon bath. And the commercials featured these haggard moms, I guess, just like
you don't know Lisa well enough to talk about her in a bath, Nick.
No, but she says that sometimes I need to escape. Oh, so I turn you guys on. Yeah.
So okay. You placed her into a bath with no clothing on. I think you went a little far, Nick.
No. Commercials for Calgon featured haggard moms escaping to soothing bubble baths that seemed to resonate with anyone who ever had a bad day. And by
you
the way,
you don't know her and you call her a hag?
No, haggard moms. Yeah, she was eating haggis while she was in the bath.
Lisa, we really appreciate your email.
I do anyway. The name Calgon, by the way, was derived from the phrase calcium gone.
Ooh.
Calgon. There you go.
See, now you got my attention.
you go. Listen,
see, Lisa, he takes like a really long way around, but eventually he gets to something good.
Exactly. Listen, laugh, and learn. Well, today on the show, we had a lot of fun, but we still have more to do, in fact, because you're listening to Totally.
Why do you have a mask, snorkel, and flippers on? Are you thinking about going in the bathtub, Nick?
You're listening to Totally Useless Information with Nick and Roy.
And now for something completely useless.
The name of the Lone Ranger's horse is Silver.
Tonto.
No.
Oh, the horse. The horse.
Yeah. Tonto.
If you wrote Tonto, that would have been interesting.
Yeah, that's back to Candy. Back to Candyland.com.
And of course, it's okay. But go ahead.
That's right. It's fine. The name of the Lone Ranger's horse, of course, is Silver, because hi-ho, Silver. Tonto, right. his companion, his friend, his horse's name is Scout.
Scout.
That's right. So when the Lone Ranger shouted, "Hi ho, Silver!" Silver away. Actually, "Hi ho, Silver away!" That's why I would never be the Lone Ranger in one of those radio dramas, right? "Hi ho, Silver away!" He said, "Get him up, Scout." That's English.
Get it up, Scout.
Get him up, Scout.
Are we talking about Lisa again?
No.
Oh, okay.
Or Candyland. Tonto would mumble, "Get him up, Scout."
Oh, I didn't know that.
There you go. See, now you know. Useless fact.
I think that was cool. That was a cool time.
Yeah.
There was also a guy named Tom Mix. For those of you who don't know who Tom Mix is, go to like YouTube and look up Tom Mix, even though I don't like YouTube, but whatever. Edgar Allan Poe, the famous American author.
Yes.
In fact, one of the most famous, I mean, you have Hemingway and you have Poe and, you know, he's a psycho, though. The guy was a morphine addict and a cocaine addict.
Ooh.
Okay. But here's where the psycho starts coming in. He married a 13-year-old.
No.
Mm-hmm. Yep. He married a 13-year-old. Okay. And even it gets worse. It was his cousin.
Oh, no. Come on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So Edgar Allan Poe, sicko. Yeah. That rhymes. I write poetry, too.
Yeah. You know, the book that was never published was Friday She'll Be 13. On the show today, we talked about gaming, and we had our very special guest, Mark Saltzman. Thank you very much for joining us and sharing your game knowledge. We talked about fashion. We also talked a little bit about gardening. It's time for the news.
And now, from around the corner and around the world, this is TUI News.
A 63-year-old woman has been accused of biting a paramedic's groin and trying to swipe a deputy's taser.
Feel the pain just thinking about it.
During a chaotic arrest in South Carolina. So it's not Florida, but close.
She was biting for his taser?
No, she bit the paramedic's groin and she tried to swipe the deputy's taser during a chaotic arrest.
So it wasn't shocking enough that she bit him in the privates. She wanted to shock him for real.
The bizarre ordeal unfolded when the sheriff's deputies were taking Gina Darlene McGee.
That's not all that unfolded.
It took her into custody at the Charleston County Jail in December.
What'd she do, Nick?
She had earlier showed up at the jail and dumped her nephew there after accusing him of looking up inappropriate images on her cell phone.
At Candyland.com.
Probably. Deputies issued a warrant for McGee's arrest after she repeatedly refused to come get the boy, declaring, "I'm not going back there. He's your problem now."
Okay.
So McGee, and you're asking, well, why did they arrest her? Well, she is the boy's legal guardian and eventually returned to the jail after the warrant was issued and became loud and boisterous when deputies tried to cut her off. She allegedly tried to grab a deputy's taser, as we said, during a struggle, which is
why... Maybe it wasn't the taser she was going for. Maybe she was grabbing for his junk.
I don't know. I don't know what I'm grabbing. Well, she says, quote, "I don't know what I'm grabbing, but I'm going to use it."
So she would use his junk against him.
That's right.
A nightstick.
When she was eventually restrained and put in the squad car, authorities said McGee...
Who the hell would have the you-know-whats to restrain her? She's a groin-biting you-know-what.
Criminal. Well, she started to hold her breath to make herself pass out.
Oh my God, yeah. This one's not joking.
Yeah,
she, and when they got closer, she bit him?
No
way. She bit them in the nipple or something?
Allegedly, she leaned over and bit one of the paramedics who had been called in to assist on the groin.
The guy was only trying to help her. She's trying to make herself pass out.
Right.
And maybe she thought it was like a life-saving tube that she could breathe on or something, get some oxygen from.
Right, because she was about to pass out. Now, this is this part of the story I don't understand. It wasn't immediately clear if the paramedic was male or...
This is the part of the story you don't understand. Okay. You're a very understanding person, Nick. Go on, please.
It's not immediately clear if the paramedic was male or female.
Oh.
Right. Yeah. So McGee has since been hit with a slew of charges, including third-degree assault with battery, unlawful conduct towards a child, and assaulting a police officer while resisting arrest.
What about the EMT?
Doesn't say anything on the
police officer. All she did was juggle his taser in his pants a few times.
Right.
You know, this poor EMT got the you know what bit out of his groin.
Well, we're not sure he or she, but nonetheless, she was arrested. And
I think it's more a he. I'm placing it as a he. I don't think she'd bite a she.
Probably not, because if you bite a female in the groin, it's not as exciting.
She was going for the peanuts.
She was. Or legumes. That's all the time. That's all the time that
she's
we
like
have.
Like legume of my you know what.
Yeah, exactly. That's all the time we have for this week's episode. Thank you very much for joining us. We are at the end of season 5. We're really excited to announce that next week we will be celebrating 100 episodes of Totally Useless Information with Nick and Roy. Thank you all for all of your support, all of your comments, all of your emails, of course. And we will continue in season 6 really, really soon. But we want to thank you because we will continue to scour the internet and other sources to get as much useless information for you guys.
And we truly do appreciate every single one of you. Thank you so much. Go to our website and look at all the cool stuff that we're doing on there. And as always, thanks again for the 100 shows. It's all because of you guys. And please, like always, share us on Facebook. Tell a friend about the trend.
I'm Nick.
And I'm Roy.
Thanks for listening.
Totally Useless Information with Nick and Roy is a production of nickandroy.com. Visit nickandroy.com to access the full library of episodes or wherever you get your podcasts.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications at TryLifeMD.com? We're now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
It's fun to put on jeans that you couldn't get into 6 months ago.
Every morning, I look forward to getting on the scale.
For anybody who's struggling with their weight, it's a godsend.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.